You're listening to Focus on Issues on KECR 910 AM. My name is Suong Tran. Today's guest is Jennifer Lewis. She is the national trainer, team leader, and volunteer for the Trauma Intervention Programs of San Diego. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you so much for asking us to be with you today.
You know, TIP is such a wonderful organization, so why don't you tell us what you guys do?
Well, the Trauma Intervention Program started years ago, and it's a group of citizen volunteers who have been trained to respond within 20 minutes to any scene in which law enforcement or the fire department have determined that there's a need for immediate emotional and practical support for a victim.
Okay, so you have volunteers trained to help people in crisis situations?
Absolutely.
Okay, now do you serve the entire county of San Diego?
We serve the entire county of San Diego. We started in Oceanside in 1985. However, we now have chapters that are also nationwide.
Oh, that's great. Now, how many volunteers are part of TIP San Diego?
TIP San Diego, we have about 80 volunteers at this time. It fluctuates all year long.
80 volunteers serving the entire county of San Diego?
The entire county, yes.
Oh, boy.
If you think of a map and how we go all the way up to Camp Pendleton and then out to Alpine and down to Imperial Beach, that's a lot of ground to cover.
Yes, a lot of ground. And you said that your volunteers respond within 20 minutes of being called?
Yes, within 20 minutes of receiving the call from the 911 dispatcher, we will contact our volunteer and have them on the road on their way to arrive. Our average response time is 20 minutes. Accordingly, sometimes it's going to take a little longer if you're coming from a further area, but it averages out to 20 minutes per call.
Okay, so are the 80 volunteers kind of spread throughout the county then so that there's good coverage?
We are. We have different teams that serve the county. So as an example, I'm on the East County team. There's also a North County Inland, a North County Coastal. We cover National City, and we just recently added the city of Coronado to our list of places to go to.
Very nice. Describe to us the different types of emergency situations that the TIP volunteers might be dispatched to.
We have a ton of variety of calls that we would go to. So if I had to give you a list, I would say things like fires, deaths, accidents, both car accidents or maybe somebody at home using a piece of equipment that they've been injured with, drownings, missing people, shootings. It's any kind of call in which law enforcement or the fire department feels that a victim, including bystanders, needs some emotional and practical support right there on scene.
Wow. Some of the things that you mentioned, I'm just imagining I would be overwhelmed. I wouldn't be able to think straight.
Well, it is highly stressful, and that's one of the reasons we're coming out. Our volunteers are trained to be a calming presence in the middle of this storm that's going on. And fire department, law enforcement, they have jobs to do when they arrive on scene. They don't have somebody there just to be with the victim or the bystanders, and that's where we come in. They will call us. We will come out and be with the person who's been traumatized, just to sit with them, to explain what's going on, and to help them to get through the next few hours of the crisis that's happening with them.
Yes, okay. So you're that calming presence. But can you go into more detail? Tell us how the TIP volunteers help out in these emergency situations.
Well, it's going to be a little different based on the kind of call that you're responding to, but when somebody is traumatized by any kind of event in their life, they're going to live that out for the rest of their lives. A week later, they're going to think about what happened. A month later, on the anniversary of the event, they're going to remember what happened. And they may not remember me by name, Jennifer came out to the home, but they're going to remember that there was somebody with them by their side who helped them to make the phone calls that they needed to make, to help make some decisions that maybe have to be made at that time. Should we call Grandma and Grandpa and tell them what's going on? There's a whole host of things that can go on. Our volunteers are also there to be protective of the person that we're assisting, and that might be an accident at the side of the street where we're going to put them in our car, turn the heater on, keep them warm, keep them so that they feel safe while they're going through their event. That's just an example of it.
Okay. I think I read this, that TIP volunteers have advocated for families at, like, hospitals.
Absolutely. And what that means, Huang, is that fire department may go to a home and have an emergency, and they need to transport a victim to the hospital to be worked on. They'll transport him to the hospital. Our volunteer will be sent to the hospital waiting to meet with the family members when they show up on scene. So the family members come to the hospital. They may or may not know what's going on with their loved ones. During the course of that time, typically, we can put a family in a small room where it's private and they can have some personal time. At any moment, your TIP volunteer can walk back into the trauma room to get an update on what's going on with that member. Where the family isn't free to walk into ICU to ask questions, your TIP member is.
And have some of your TIP volunteers helped out with even burial services?
Absolutely. We have a resource guide that all of our volunteers carry with them. And in that guide, there's a list of different mortuaries, crematoriums in there, and it just gives them kind of a reference point of maybe where to start. Some people have it planned down to the last minute. They know who to call and what the service is going to be all about. But the majority of people, they don't have a clue. They don't know because maybe, you know, he wasn't supposed to die first. I was supposed to go first or whatever, you know, they have going on. But we do have the resources to guide them in a direction to help them get started.
Yes. But, you know, I think even if everything is planned out, I would be in such shock and I would be so numb that I wouldn't know what to do.
Of course. Absolutely. You're going to be in shock because you weren't expecting that to happen on that date and that time.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to sit with you and help you to come to grips with what's going on, help you to make your phone calls, to think about what you need to do next. It's little things like to ask you, are you on any kind of medication you need to take? And we've had clients go, oh my gosh, yes, I need my heart medicine. Well, let's get you a glass of water and make sure that you're taking care of yourself. It's small things like that that really add up and make a difference.
Oh, definitely. So what type of training do the TIP volunteers receive?
Our volunteers go through a course of training that's over 50 hours, and it takes about 2 weeks to do it. It's usually on the weekends and in the evenings. And during that academy, we're going to go over both emotional and practical support to their victims, how to work effectively with fire and law enforcement, how the medical examiner plays into the whole events, how to stay on safe when you're on scene, and then again, how to care for yourself after you respond to a traumatic call.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. You're going to take that information home with you, and you have to be able to let it go and not carry all that on your heart.
Yes. What kind of qualities or traits would someone need to have to make a good TIP volunteer?
You really just have to have a caring heart. If your heart cares about your fellow citizens, we can teach you the other stuff that you have to learn to be a good volunteer.
Okay, a caring heart.
A caring heart, yes.
But like you said, the volunteers are going to see uncomfortable scenes and experience certain things.
They absolutely are. And during part of the training, we will show them photos of people that are deceased. Some natural deaths and others that aren't natural. And it helps them to get a feel for what they may run into when they're out on a call. And at any time during that academy, those 50 hours, if they feel like, man, oh man, I just can't do this, then they're free to go. We're not going to force them to stay with us.
Right.
Right.
Tell us about some of the volunteers who are volunteering with TIP.
Our volunteers come from all walks of life. They could be your next door neighbor, a friend at school, the grocery store clerk, male, female, young, old, married, single. They come from all walks of life. We do have people who have a background in medical, and those people would be inclined to bring their background with them to a call. Part of our 50 hours in training is to teach you to put yourself in the trunk of the car. Don't bring it into the call. Come in as a TIP volunteer just with your TIP skills that you need, not with your background. Me personally, I'm a courtroom clerk. I have a lot of knowledge about criminal activity that goes on and domestic violence, and I have to leave that in the car when I go into somebody's house. And I'm here as a tip volunteer, not as Jennifer, who knows all the legal background as far as the court system goes.
How old does someone need to be? Is there a minimum age?
There is a minimum age. We do have tip teens, 16, 17-year-olds, who can come on as a volunteer. They do have to go out with an adult until they reach the age of 21. But our teens come so handy in our area. If an incident happens at a school, which has happened quite often in San Diego County, we have tip teens that can come to be with them, and it's helpful for the younger generation. They can identify with the teens and speak with them on their level.
What about the time commitment, Jennifer?
The time commitment, we are looking for a volunteer to give us 3 12-hour shifts every month. And what I mean by that is our shifts run from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and then 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So people like myself, I work Monday through Friday. So I would be inclined to take a shift on a Friday night, 7 p.m. to Saturday morning, 7 a.m., and then two other shifts during a Saturday or Sunday. So you're looking to serve 3 12-hour shifts each month. It's really easy to fit it into your life because you can still live your life while you're on call.
Oh, really? Okay.
Have you
been called in the middle of a birthday party, maybe?
Or absolutely. Dinner? In fact, when I'm on call, if I know that I'm the called-out person tonight, as an example, 7 p.m. until, 7 a.m., then I know I'm not going to get my nails done tonight because I can't be in the middle of having my nails done and have to walk away. But I have been to birthday parties, out to dinner, and I just say to my husband, honey, we need to take two cars in case I have to leave, and that's fine. Or we'll go to a party together, and he just knows that if I have to leave, somebody else has to give him a ride home.
Okay. You plan around it.
We plan around it, absolutely.
Okay. How many cases did TIP receive last year?
Well, I asked that question, and last year we served about 8,000 people in 2015.
Wow.
And those 8,000 people would be victims, families, bystanders, fire department personnel, law enforcement. You're going to school, so you may be dealing with big groups of classes. So around 8,000 last year.
Okay. Okay, we're getting close to the end of our time right now, and I know there are some training sessions this year.
There are. We actually train twice a year, and the next one coming up is in June. It's going to start June 9th, and it'll end on the 18th, and that one's actually going to be in Coronado. It's our first time to go on the island to give a training. And then later on in the year, in October, we will be holding a training up in the Poway-Ramona area. But even though they're in two separate areas, our citizens can attend either training. So you could live up in Escondido and come to Coronado to get trained. You just know that once you're completely trained and you're ready to be assigned, your assignment will be whatever's best oriented to where you live.
Okay, that makes sense. So the training sessions are June 9th through the 18th, and
yes,
also October 13th to the 22nd.
Yes.
Now, these are the actual training sessions. So if someone would like to get more information about TIP,
they can go online to TIP, T-I-P, San Diego, .org.
Okay. What about a phone number, Jennifer?
Our phone number is 855-847-7343.
Okay. So the website again is tipsandiego.org.
Yes.
And your phone number is 855-847-7343.
Perfect.
We've been speaking with Jennifer Lewis. She is the national trainer, the team leader, and volunteer for the trauma intervention programs of San Diego. Jennifer, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you.
You've been listening to Focus on Issues. The opinions and views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or management. This program is presented as a public service of KECR 910 AM. If you're aware of a need, interest, or concern of the city of El Cajon, you can email me at stran@familyradio.org. To learn more about Family Radio, a beacon of truth and hope, please go to familyradio.org. or call us toll-free 1-800-543-1495.